This morning, and listen, we of course we have the basket up here to give an offering to the Lopez family at any time. We know how that works. Gentlemen, let's have a word of prayer of the offering, please.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all who are able to make it here this morning, be it those who are sick and under the weather, just comfort their hearts and encourage us through your word this morning. Thank you that the Lopez's are here with us. Give them safe travels as well, Lord, and just thank you that we can come and be encouraged from your word and give back to you after all you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, praise the Lord. We have glad to have the Lopez with us this morning, and I've been looking forward to this time. And we they just started their ministry, right? Just got it started. They started their ministry really just before I got saved. Really, that's how young I am. Brother just said I'm a young man. You said that, right? A baby actually said I'm a baby. So, amen. Where's my wife? Did she hear that? Anyway, so praise the Lord for that. Going to have him come this time and give testimony.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor. It's a real blessing to be here today at Heritage Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. We came here 31 years ago, and you took us on for support. I don't know how many people were here 31 years ago. Raise your hand. What about 17 years ago? Raise your hand. Okay, so, well, actually, the last time that we came to this church, and our support in church is 15, 16, and 17 years. You know, why has taken so long? Well, when you start the church from scratch, after 4 years, the church is not ready for you to leave the church. Plus, we are from Spain, and I had to take care, my wife had to take care of my mother, and, you know, a few other things. So when you put everything together, it's 17 years ago. Now, it is not very usual that you hear a missionary with this broken accent, all right? And I will try to speak slow because I know that I do things fast. So I hope that you understand my language, you know, as I speak English with my accent. Now, let me tell you something. I don't have any accent in Spanish. When I speak Spanish, no accent at all, I know the language, I know the culture, and that really helps. Now, let me share my testimony with you so that you know Joaquin and Paqui López a little bit more. My testimony goes back to 1940 with my grandfather. My grandfather was not a Christian. He was not a Catholic. He was not a Baptist. He didn't know the Lord. Although he feared a supreme being, my mother told me that sometimes she saw my grandfather kneeling by his bedside praying to somebody. Well, they had a Christian neighbor, and that Christian neighbor, a lady, was very persistent in inviting my grandfather and my grandmother to go to a special service on the woods, because in those days, Christianity in Spain was under persecution. Francisco Franco, the general dictator of Spain, did not allow people to meet on buildings. He made things very hard for Christians. So my grandfather told my grandmother, well, let's go to that meeting that she's inviting us, and she will be quiet about it. So we forget about it. So they went to the woods that day, and when my grandfather and my grandmother heard the gospel for the first time, they said, this is what I have been looking all my life. So that day, my grandfather and my grandmother got saved on the woods. They opened their house to have services. The police came a couple of three times to try to stop those services, but they were faithful preaching the word of God. And my father and mother were dating at that time, and they were in those services, so they came to know the Lord as their personal Savior as well. So when I was born in a Christian home, which is not very usual because almost everybody in Spain is Catholic or nothing. Well, after I got saved, I said, Lord, this is the best thing that has happened to me. Lord, I want to serve you. So I went into a Bible college in Barcelona, Spain for 1 year. The following year, I went into the army. Every Spaniard was required to go to the army in those days. And the following year, I came back to that Bible college. But I sensed that something was not right. I could not put my finger on the problem. I said, Lord, something is not right here. They are really teaching my mind, but nothing comes to my heart. What about if you bring a man into my life that he will take me like Paul did with Timothy, and that he will teach me one-to-one? So I was praying that prayer, and I was invited to go to a church of a missionary by the name of Martin Valcárcel. I sat into the last pew of the church, and I heard Martin preach a message in the fruit of the Christian life. That message went through my mind, came to my heart, and I said, maybe this is the man. So after the service, I went to Martin, to his office. I said, Martin, I want to speak with you. I am attending that Bible college, but I don't know what is wrong. I don't have the peace of the Lord in my heart. He said to me, I know what is wrong. If I was you, I will not go back. So in those days, I did not know anything about neo-evangelicalism, fundamentalism, nothing. I just loved the Lord. I was a Christian, and I wanted to serve the Lord. So he really opened my eyes about the situation. And he offered me to work in his church, in the office of the church, and also attend the Night Bible Institute, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And he also told me, I have a beautiful niece that you can get married to if you want to. No. He never said that to me, okay? But as I decided to leave that Bible college, I prayed for 1 month. And then after 1 month, I said, Lord, I am going to go with Martin. So the peace of the Lord inundated my heart. And then I joined the youth group in the church, and I met Paki. And we got engaged. We got married in 1981. And then Martin, after a couple of years, he decided to, as a missionary, to move to the northern part of Spain to start another church. I said, my man is leaving. I really like to go with Martin. We were already married with a little girl. And I said, but Lord, I am not going to tell anything to Martin. If this is your will, Martin will have to come to me and ask me. So one night after prayer meeting, Wednesday night, Martin came to my wife and I, and he said to us, will you consider coming with us to the northern part of Spain to start a church? I said, Martin, I am already packed. Let's go. So we went with Martin and Linda 600 miles to the city of Oviedo in the province of Asturias. And we started another church with Martin, a new church. And a few years later, I felt with my wife that we needed more training in the Word of God. So I said, Martin, we are going. I really like to go to study the Bible. He said, well, he sent us to North Carolina, a small Bible college in North Carolina. So we were in North Carolina from 1983 till 1988, 5 years. Studied the Bible. The Lord gave us 2 more children there. In 1988, we went back to Spain, and I had to work to supply the needs of my family. I had a Bible degree, but no support. So I could not find any work. I said to myself, what can I do? In order to pay our bills at the school in North Carolina, I did a lot of painting. You know, painting? Inside, outside. I worked Friday, Saturdays, Christmas, summers, painting. So I learned, you know, to do a good job. So I started my own painting business in Spain. I printed 10,000 flyers. There was no Instagram, no Facebook in those days. So I had to put the 10,000 flyers in the mailboxes of, you know, mailboxes. In Spain, you are allowed to do that. Everybody does that, so the mailboxes are filled up with propaganda. So work came in, and I had a painting business going on. I had people working for me. I was very happy. No, I was not really happy. Because if I am honest with you, I don't really enjoy painting. But I had to do it because, you know, to put food on the table, you know, for my family. Well, I had a friend, and he was a naturopath, Jose Luis, a naturopath. And he was making lots of money as a naturopath. I said, Jose Luis, do you think that I can become a naturopath and work half of the time that you work, make half of the money that you make, and then have the rest of the time for the ministry? He said to me, well, go to college, study, and I will help you. So this is what I did. I went to college for 3 years. I became a naturopath. I had my naturopath degree, and I had 7 locations, nutritional food stores, that a franchise, a big company in Spain, gave me. Monday afternoon, I went to 1 location, Tuesday afternoon to another location, so forth during the week. But after working as a naturopath for some time, after checking a lady one day, the lady said to me, tomorrow I am coming back. I said, what for? I will not be here. She said, no, somebody is going to come and throw tarot cards, you know, read my hands. I said, wow, is she going to use this table? Yeah. Is she going to use this chair? Yeah. So that became a pattern in the 7 locations. So I went to the owners of the stores and I told them, I am a Christian, as you know, and I advise you to get rid of those witches because they will not bless your business. They told me, we're here for money. If you do not like it, you know, here is the door. I said, well, in general, I will go through the door if you have not done something about it. It was September. So I gave them 3 months, you know, and January came, they forgot about it. So I went through the door. I lost everything, and I had to go back to the painting business. I was very frustrated. I didn't know what to do. I said, Lord, I try. What do I do next? Well, I remember very well the day that I was painting the ceiling of a computer store in John Lennon Square, Barcelona, Spain. On the top of a ladder, painting the ceiling, the thought crossed my mind. Go back to the United States, raise support, and you know English a little bit now. Because, by the way, when we came for Bible college in 1983, neither my wife and I, we could not speak a word of English. Nothing. We always took French in high school. So how do you like to go to college without knowing a word of the language? Now, this was our case. So in 1994, As I was painting that ceiling, the thought crossed my mind, and I went home. I told my wife, and we came in 1994 to raise support and deputation. So we were here 20 months in the United States. We visited 180 churches, and Titusville was one of those churches. So in 1997, we went back to Spain to start churches from scratch. So we went to Mataró. Mataró is a city 30 minutes north of Barcelona in the northeast coast. And we were there 10 years. After the 10 years, the Lord put in my heart to start another church 1 hour south of Barcelona. So Brother Rodrigo Delgado, he was a young man from our church studying the Bible in North Carolina. So I called Rodrigo. I said, Rodrigo, after you are done studying the Bible, are you willing to come back to Spain and be the pastor of this church that we established? He said, yes, that will be great. So when Rodrigo and Rebecca came back to Spain, he was the pastor of the church. We came for a furlough 17 years ago. And after our furlough, we went back to Spain. And we started the church 1 hour south of Barcelona. So between the Mataró church, 30 minutes north of Barcelona, and Torredembarra church, it's 1.5 hours. So we started the church from scratch. We got a house, and one day I went to the house. It was not completely done. So I went to the house to see the house. And there was a mason working there. So I introduced myself to that man. I said, my name is Joaquín López. What is your name? He said, my name is Eduardo. I said, Eduardo, where are you from? Because I knew that he was not from Spain. So Eduardo, he said to me, I am from Ecuador. I said, wow, Ecuador. I know a wonderful story about Ecuador. And I started explaining Eduardo the story about Ecuador. You know, the five missionaries, Jim Elliot, Steve Saint. So he was really listening to me with big eyes. I said, Eduardo, I don't feel okay in my heart. Somebody is paying you to work, not to listen to me. What about if you give me a call? Here is my phone. Give me a call, and I will really love to talk to you more about it. So I don't know if he was going to give me a call or not, but he did. And over the phone, he said, Joaquin, can I bring my wife with me? I said, sure. So Eduardo, Gloria, and myself, we met in a restaurant in Torredembarra, in the province of Tarragona. It's a Roman city. And I shared the gospel with Eduardo and Gloria in that restaurant from A till Z. After I was done, I said, Eduardo and Gloria, did you understand what I just explained? They said, completely. I said, do you want to accept the Lord as your personal Savior? So Eduardo and Gloria said, yes. So they bowed their heads and they prayed and they accepted the Lord. And in June of 2009, we started a church. Eduardo, Gloria, my wife Paki, my daughter Debbie, a friend of mine, Julian, and myself, six people. You will see this on the video. And the first people that come in the video, it's Eduardo and Gloria. So the Lord blessed the ministry. We were in our living room for 1 year. Then we rented a place in Torredembarra for 10 years. And after 10 years, the Lord gave us two storefronts that we have been there remodeling the place and the church. Now the storefronts, they are paid off completely, so we don't have any debt. So as we go back to Spain, I really like to give the church to another national, because missionaries are supposed to start churches. Sometimes it's not easy to start a church, especially in Europe. In America, the light, the spiritual light is diminishing, going away, but you still have a lot of light. In Spain, everything is dark, completely dark. Europe, you know, Italy, France, Germany, very dark. So thank you so much for supporting our family for 31 years. With prayer, with financial support, it's been a real blessing. Now, a month ago, I have another story to tell you about Martin Valcárcel. Martin Valcárcel, Paki's uncle, my mentor, I wrote that in a prayer letter. He was saved in a cruise in the Caribbean island. He was Catholic, but he resembled very much a son of a couple that they were in that cruise. And Martin was very outgoing, very, you know, happy man and good personality. So the rich family, a couple with a son, they were doing a cruise in the Caribbean islands. And Martin reserved very much to their son. So they fell in love with Martin. Said, Martin, do you want to come with us and live with us? We have an antique business and we'd love to take you as our son. So Martin decided to go. And he went, and he got saved after 8 months, you know, reading the Bible and going to church. He went back to Spain, started a church where I met Paki in Hebron Valley Bible Church there in Barcelona, Spain. And a month ago, we were in Martin's funeral. We were in Michigan, we drove to Decatur, Alabama, and this is Martin's book that he wrote. My son-in-law drove the whole way from Michigan to Decatur, Alabama, and in the trip, I read the whole book in one shot. I cried many times, and I laughed many times, and that the sister here, I don't know your name, but she loaned me this book for us to show you. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful story. If you want to read it, get it, you know, ask permission to her. Let me borrow the book when she's done. And that will be great. Martin is in heaven now, and he was used by the Lord to start several churches in Spain. And I had the privilege to be, you know, under his wing. Mary, you know, his beautiful niece. And what a blessing that one day we're going to spend eternity together in heaven. Pray for Linda, his wife. She's in Decatur now. And what a wonderful thing. Now, after the video, maybe if you have any questions, tonight at 6 o'clock, I hope that everybody will come at 6 o'clock. I am sure you will. So I want to preach this morning as well. So let's go now and see the video. And thank you so much.
Amen. See, this is, you know, we see the letters, but without the faces, it's just paper, right? I mean, we try, but now already you'll never read that letter the same again, right? We remember a couple weeks ago we talked about that, and so we're familiar. But when it's that's why we want missionaries to come. Amen. That's why we want to see them. All right, let's look at this. Thank you.
personaje curioso. Vestía de pieles de animales y comía muy raro.
¿Qué ha sucedido?
Cristo, María, Cristo, su cuerpo no está en la
I thank the Lord for my salvation and for what the church has done for my life. The Lord brought peace and rest to my soul when I really needed.
Our church is a church that preaches sound doctrine, and the pastor is a man of strong convictions, and I really love it.
I was praying for a church to attend that could be a blessing to me, where I could find the love, the blessing of the Lord, and a family in Christ. And I can say I really found it.
In the middle of this society, where it was so difficult to find a sound and good preaching church for my family, I can say that I found it, and since day one, it has been a blessing. Hello, my name is Carlos, and the Trinidad Church is where I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior 10 years ago. It is such a blessing to be a member of this church, and I really enjoy every minute of the church services.
Maybe we can use 2 minutes if you have any questions at this time. Anybody has a question or two? Yes. Yes, there are many missionaries in Spain. And thanks the Lord that many American missionaries have come to Spain and preach the word there. So they have a little accent, though. Anybody else? Yes. No, actually, the building situation, you know, in Spain they do a lot of graffiti, like big cities. But one day a feminist group, that are pro-abortion, they heard that in Chile, South America, there was a Baptist church that they preach against abortion. So since they could not go to Chile, they saw Baptist, so they said, hey, let's do something to them. So they threw balloons. But it was a blessing because the radio came and the newspaper came. It was free advertisement. And our facade needed some painting. So we did the painting. Yes. But after that, we have not experienced nothing like that anymore. Yeah, praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes. It's football, you know, as you say, I have seen, a couple of weeks ago, we win the World Cup. and football is big in Spain, definitely. But it's not that much, No, in our church, the people of our church are not that crazy, for soccer. Yeah, so it may be something else, Yeah, it may be something else, but not for sports. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes. Well, many occupations. We have everything like that you have in America, we have in Spain. We have, businesses, we produce cars, and we produce, agriculture and farming and clothing, shoes, anything. Yeah, anything. Yes. More and more, a little bit more, many years ago it was another kind of resistance, but now the resistance is more subtle, it's more subtle, yeah. And, if we pass trucks in the streets and the government sees, trucks on the floor, because people get the truck and threaten on the floor, we may get in some trouble. But we have freedom 100%, it's completely freedom, yeah. No problem at all. I think I saw another hand. Yes.
How many churches have you all built?
Well, actually, my wife and I, we have built two from scratch, and we have helped, like Martin, build another two. So, yeah, two and two. It's four. I think. Anybody, another question? Yes. It's very liberal. Very liberal. Very socialism, communism. Yeah, we opened the doors, you know, for immigrants to come in. You know, like in the Obama, you know, situation. Yeah. Yeah, let's just come in. We'll give you papers and social security and we'll give you everything. Yeah. So we are having a great influx from the Muslim people. We have thousands of Muslims and people from South America. In Spain, many immigration, like in America, probably many.
What about crime like there? Is it pretty
crazy? Crime is becoming worse, yeah. But it's not as in America. You can walk in downtown Barcelona, Spain, or Madrid at 12 p.m., 1 o'clock in the morning, and maybe will nothing happen to you. So, yeah, but, you know, it's becoming worse. You know, in the paper I see, you know, more and more that shootings and people are dead and so forth. So the Lord is coming soon, so everything will get worse and worse. Yeah. Anything else? No? Okay. Pastor.
Well, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals once again over to number 196. 190. Let's all stand together. 196.
Everybody, got our announcements for the week. Next week, next Sunday, is our first Sunday fellowship. So we'll have a afternoon fellowship and lunch. Getting that out took a little bit. That's sorry. And then a early afternoon service. And bring a dish, come back for the fellowship, have a good time with everybody. And then school starts back up soon. Yeah. Woo! We're all excited for that. No, pray for the students. Pray for the families of the students. Pray that God takes, we can use this opportunity this year to make a big impact on the lives of our young people, not just in education, but educating them also in the Word of God in Christ, that they can build a better relationship with Him. And then our Creation Conference is only a couple weeks away. There's flyers in the back. Take some. Invite somebody to come out who might be interested, even if they're not interested. Invite them anyways. They may come. They may be interested if you invite them. It's something that a lot of people in the world question. And even people who think they know still question about it. There's some people who think it's 100 million years, and then there's some that think it's 600 million years. And what's crazy is the big difference between those time frames. So let's invite them. They can come and learn that it's really what the Bible says it is. And we'll have a good time with that. And those are the announcements, Pastor.
Amen. The thing is, people will be excited about what we're excited about. If we're like, hey, we have this thing going on over there, if you want to come, they probably ain't coming, right? If they, if we're excited about it, listen, we've got this really neat thing coming, you got to come, and you're excited about it, they will be, even if they don't come, at least they'll get excited about it. I do want to mention, I mentioned to the men in the Sunday school hour, nursing home ministry, so the ladies... I don't think y'all talked about that in the ladies' Sunday school, did you? No. Probably not. I didn't think there was. But we have this going to be every Thursday at 6:30. I said either 6 or 7. I was right. 6:30. And so it's going to be at Vista Manor. I was going to say Vista, but Vista Manor, one of those somehow. And every Thursday at 6:30. And so those that would like to participate, you say, you know, yes, I'd love to do that. I was really hoping there'd be some people so excited they would talk to me between Sunday school and morning service. But I didn't get any of those. So maybe we will stir you. You're like, well, when do you want me to tell you? Already. If you're interested, here's the thing. Folks, if we're not interested, we will not do the ministry. That's how that goes. We either do it as a church, you know, or we don't do it. And that's kind of how ministries go. It's the church, right? It's a body. And so you say, man, now I feel pressured. I want a little prodding. I want a little prodding to give you opportunity and occasion, but we can't be excited about what we're not going to be excited about, right? And so, yeah, if it's a chore, it's not a ministry. And so there's people that need to be reached. We'll reach them in different places in different ways. But if you're interested in that, I think I've got through to you. Let me know. Amen? If you're not interested, don't let me know. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. So at camp, Brother... Brother Shetler said he was in Jamaica, and they said when they're... Yeah, Jamaica? Bahamas. Same area, the Caribbean. He said if they would do... I don't know if it's really true. I've heard him say it a couple times. But anyway, either he made it up or he said when they do this, the congregation would say, amen. And so that's... I just point down here. Amen. So we have our different way. You know, when y'all know I'm pointing down, it's preacher, that's how you, that's if you're not getting amens, you point down to the amen. And so we have to have ways to get it going. So let's turn one more time this morning. Let's turn over to number 400. Number 400. Thank you. all the things that may or may not be true, I imagine that one will be. Wish I'd given him more. So even when we give more now, I think we'll still wish we'd have given him more. But let's give him what we can now. Amen. Brother, come on ahead and preach to us this morning. Look forward to it.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, what a blessing that next Sunday you are going to have a meal together. Actually, in our church in Spain, every second Sunday of the month, we had a meal together and an early afternoon service at 3 o'clock. So we enjoyed so much that I said, what about if we do it every Sunday? So we have been doing that every Sunday for several years. And that's been a real, real blessing. So we have a morning service, lunch together. Some people stay, others not stay. And then at 3 o'clock, we have an afternoon service. So I know that you will enjoy next week. Praise the Lord. Now, I have a few messages, you know, that I could preach. And I don't know exactly what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. So I decided to preach the message entitled The Three Worlds. The Three Worlds. Now, I have two verses to read this morning, and one is very, very, everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Philippians 2:10, that all the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth. So the title of the message of this morning is The Three Worlds. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for thy word, for the church, for these dear people so faithful, been supporting missionaries for so many years. I pray, Lord, that you will bless the message of this morning, that the Holy Spirit will really take hold of myself, and that you will speak to all of us, starting by myself. Now we commit ourselves to you now, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, many, many, many years ago, you know, around 6,000 years ago, there was only one heaven. And I call it the heavenly world. The heavenly world. There was, in the heavenly world, there was the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There was also angels, archangels, cherubs. And I imagine, you know, in that heavenly world, it was a wonderful thing to be in the heavenly world before any other world was. And we do not know too much about that heavenly world. Now, in John 17, the Lord tells us a few things about that heavenly world. The Lord Jesus said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before with thee before the world was. So, before the earthly world, there was the heavenly world, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit experienced a great glory that we don't know too much about that glory. He also says in the same chapter, John 17, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So they experienced a great, great glory and great love. And one day we will experience and we will see more about it. If you read Revelation chapter 4 and 5, Revelation 21 and 22, we know a few more things about that heavenly world. And one day all of us are going to be there worshiping the Lord and spending eternity together. What a wonderful thing will it be. Now, there was somebody else in that heavenly world. And you know who I am referring to. It was Lucifer. Lucifer was a great cherub that God created. He was a wonderful cherub, and he was really, really, really beautiful. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. So Lucifer was beautiful, he was perfect, he was maybe the choir director, I don't know exactly, but we know about Lucifer's character and beauty. But when he was watching in the throne about the fellowship and the glory and the love, as we read in John 17,
He was watching that reality in the throne. He said, I really like to go and be part of the Trinity. I think that I really need to sit in that throne. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Wow! And we know the story. And the Bible says that Lucifer was kicked out from the heavenly world, and he was sent into another world. The Lord created the second world. So we have the heavenly world. If you take like a sheet of paper, you can write here a line, and this is the heavenly world. And you can write another line, and this is the infernal world. And there is nothing else. The heavenly world and the infernal world. The Bible says in the book of Jude, chapter 6, verse 6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So now, there was a time that there was only two worlds, the heavenly world and the infernal world. Now, in between, actually, the Lord decided to create the earthly world. So we had the heavenly, we had the infernal, or the underworld. And now in between, 6,000 years ago, the Lord said, I am going to create the earthly world. So we read in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, the beauty of the earthly world. You know, how he created the stars and the moon and the satellites and, you know, and the planets and the galaxies. Wow, what amazing. Second heaven. There are only three heavens. The first heaven where the birds fly and the planes fly. We came from Barcelona to Seattle actually 2 months ago. And we flew 11,000 meters in the first heaven. But if you go a little upper, you know, you find the second heaven where everything is, it's there. And that second heaven, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's huge. I mean, it's huge, huge, huge. It's amazing. It's amazing that earthly world. Now, in that earthly world, when God created everything in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, he created, you know, the flowers and the birds and the trees. And he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Lucifer from the underworld was watching everything. He was probably somewhere, I don't know exactly where he was, but he was in the underworld watching how God was creating the earthly world. And he said to himself, that is beautiful. It is amazing. And I was not able to sit on God's throne, so I will try to sit on Adam's throne. And I'm going to try to steal Adam's scepter and be the king of the earthly world, the prince of the earthly world. And the Bible tells us that he really did that. And he went to the garden, and we know the story in Genesis chapter 3. He lied to Adam and Eve. He said, okay, eat of that fruit. The Lord said, don't eat it, because the day that you eat of that fruit, you will really die. Now, they did not die physically, because they were able to hit themselves into the trees. They saw, you know, garments with thick leaves, and they did not die mentally in their soul, because they were able to think, and they were able to escape and talk to each other, but they died spiritually. You know, when I witnessed to somebody in Spain, I really like to witness, you know, drawing pictures. They say that the picture is worth a thousand words. So when I witness to somebody, I have like a bunch of, you know, sheets of paper, and I draw things. When I witness to somebody, I say, okay, this circle is your body, and instead of the circle, there is the soul, and instead of that circle, there is the spirit. So spirit, soul, and body. And that spirit, it's dead, completely dead. It's dark. Now, people are not dead in their minds. People are not dead in their souls. They can make decisions, okay? So they can hear the Word of God. They can read the Bible. They can, you know, study about the Gospel. So, but spiritually they're dead. The Lord has to do something in their spirits. Like the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I don't know how can I go into my mother's womb the second time. He was talking about the big circle. The Lord Jesus said, no, you are not in your spirit. You must be born of flesh and you must be born of the Spirit. So when somebody accepts the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes into the Spirit, that Spirit, you know, it's clean again, the sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit dwells into the spirit of the man or the woman or the child, and then we are new people. In our soul, in our mind, in our body. We have a saying in Spain that the face is the mirror of the soul. So when somebody accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, the life changed. But Satan was able to fool Adam and Eve, and he really became the king of this age. The prince of this world. And 1650 years after Genesis 1 and 2, the earthly world was dominated by Satan and demons. And the earthly world was so filled with sin that the Lord said in Genesis 6, I have to destroy the earthly world. So Noah, build yourself an ark. Because I am going to destroy the world. Noah said, okay. So he probably, you know, was maybe for 120 years, I don't know exactly, 120 years building the ark. With maybe he hired other people, you know, and everybody, and nobody believed on Noah's message. But Noah was very faithful preaching the word of God, and Noah was very faithful building the ark, obeying the Lord by faith. So 120 years, the Lord brought that great, you know, flood. And the Lord destroyed everything. And after, finally, in Genesis 6 or 7, Noah was able to get out of the ark and start all over again from fresh, you know, new life again with his family. But 150 years later, Nimrod comes along and he builds a city and he builds a tower. And the Lord has to confound the languages. This is why you speak English. I speak Spanish. By the way, I speak another language in Catalonia, in our area, in the northeast part of Spain. Spain is divided by regions, and every region is divided by provinces. In our region, Catalonia, we speak Catalan. So I grew up speaking that language. When I find somebody in Spain that speaks Catalan, I am able to witness in Catalan, and that really helps. Catalan is not a dialect, it's a language with grammar. For example, bird, anybody knows how to say bird in Spanish? Anybody? Pájaro. Pájaro. In Catalan, it's ocell. So it's completely different language. Now, this is what the Lord did. The Lord took, I don't know exactly, Hebrew, Aramaic, maybe, the language of Adam and Eve, the language of Noah, the language of Nimrod, and he took that only one language, and he took that language, and he threw that language, and pow, came up many languages. And the world 150 years after the flood was in terrible way. The Lord had to choose, you know, Abraham. Said, Abraham, come, because I am going to make a nation out of you. And you know the story, you know, out of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. And many years later comes the Lord Jesus Christ. But how was the people of Israel and Judah? Were they the true Jehovah Witness? They were supposed to be the true Jehovah Witness. You know, the Jehovah Witness that we have around here. By the way, we have many Jehovah Witnesses in Spain. It's crazy. They are false Jehovah Witness. The true Jehovah Witness were the people of Israel. And they were very bad Jehovah Witness. So they were not really fulfilled the Lord's will. And finally, we know how this earth is. Jesus have to get a newspaper, watch the news on TV, and see how the world is. This world is gone. Completely gone. I mean gone. And we are waiting for the Lord's coming, because it's the only thing that is going to stop this terrible thing, you know. Now, Satan is now in charge of the earthly world, and he has atoms, and he's going one day to go to hell forever and ever. And we are waiting upon that second coming of the Lord that could be at any moment. Maybe Paki and I will never be able to go back to Spain on August 25th. I hope and wish that the Lord will come tomorrow and you will not have to go to the nursing home anymore. Mm-hmm. because we are going to go. By the way, it's good to go to the nursing home because there are people that are waiting for your message and your singing and your blessing. What a blessing, you know, to be in the ministry of the Lord. Now, did I paint a difficult picture today? Did I paint a dark picture today? I could probably done a better job if I was speaking and preaching in Espanol, in Spanish. But English, let me tell you something, it's not easy for me, although you probably say that, yeah, I do a good job, but I don't believe that, all right? So, this earthly world, it's filled with the things of the underworld. Everywhere, you name it. Everything is polluted. Everything is dark. Because the underworld is dominating 100% the earthly world. And as time goes on, it's more darker. It's darker and darker and darker. And now, you know, people are so entertained with things. You know, we have internet, and we have movies, and we have Netflix, and we have cell phones, and we have, you know, all comforts. And people do not want to do anything with the gospel. Because we have everything. Because Satan has really put up, you know, he has blinded the eyes of people so that they will not see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the underworld is dominating 100% the earthly world. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? Yeah, definitely. But I have good news for you today. There is a great tension between the heavenly world and the underworld. There is a great tension. And we are in the earthly world, in between that tension. Now, the message of this morning, in 50 minutes I will be done. Don't worry about my 8 points. I have 8 points this morning, but I am going to go very fast. So in 15, 20 minutes I will be done, okay? So 12:30 you will be eating lunch with somebody today. So don't worry about that. Yeah, you know, a missionary came to a church one day. He said, "Pastor, how long do I have to preach?" He said, "Preach as long as you want. We at 12 o'clock are gone." So you will be gone by 12:30 for sure. Okay. So I have 8 points today. Now, in the earthly world, everybody is bound by Satan's chains. And Satan made a trip from the underworld to the earthly world. But my first point this morning, I have four things that God has done that we cannot do. And I have four other points that four things that we need to do that God will not do for us. In order to break the chains of Satan. So everybody in this world is chained by the chains of Satan. Now, the first thing that God has done that I cannot do is that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, came from the heavenly world to the earthly world 2,000 years ago. Isn't that wonderful? That for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. And now Jesus Christ comes 2,000 years ago and is born in the town of Bethlehem, and He lives 30 years with a family, a Jewish family, and when He's 30 years old, He comes from the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle to the holy place, and He's the bread of life, and He has a sweet smell. And He is the light of the world in those 30 years. You know, picture the tabernacle in your mind, okay? He comes from the heavenly world, the Holy of Holies, to the holy place. And He now, when He's 30 years old, He comes through the outside of the holy place into the court of the tabernacle. And He's baptized into that, you know, how do you call that in the... In the English, the el lavacro in Spanish, you know, where the priest and the holy priest, they wash everything in the tabernacle. How do you call that? Come on, lavacro in Spain. The labor, yeah, you know, when there was, you know, before the holy place, there was a place of water. You know, they washed everything. So Jesus goes baptized, and then he goes, when he's 30 years old, when he's 33 years old, he goes to the cross. And he goes to the brazen altar, and he dies for us. What a blessing. So now if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, if we invite the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him, and we have faith on Christ, he comes into our spirit, and we are new people. We are born again, born of the Spirit. Now, to be able to believe biblically, you have to hear the gospel and understand the gospel. It's like a triangle, okay? One side is you have to understand the gospel. If you do not understand the gospel, you will never be able to be saved. So you must understand the gospel. But understanding the gospel is not enough. You must agree with the gospel. But agreeing with the gospel is not enough. You must understand the gospel, and agreeing with the gospel is not enough. You need to depend upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary. If you depend on him, he will save you. So understanding, agreeing, and depending on Jesus. May 19th, Paki and I, we depended on two people as we flew over the ocean. We went to the plane, and we sat down in the plane. I agree, I pay, you know, I took my visa, I paid for the tickets. And so I understood which company I wanted to fly with. And then I agree, 100%, I pay with my visa. And then May 19th, Paki and I went into the plane, and we sat down into that seat, and we put our dependence completely in two people. The pilot and the co-pilot. If the pilot has a heart attack, and the co-pilot, he's so afraid that he has a heart attack, the plane goes down. So May 19, I put my life and my wife's life into the hands of two people. Now, November the 1st of 1971, I put my dependence completely in one pilot. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. I understood the gospel, I agreed with the gospel, and I put my dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was saved. So this is something that I cannot do. I cannot save myself. So the first point in my message in this real mess is that Christ came from the Holy of Holies to this earthly world. He died for me. If I place my dependence on Christ, the chains of Satan are broke. What a wonderful thing. Now, the second thing that God did for me to live that type of Christian life, Jesus not only came into this world, but 50 days later after he died, who came? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity came down from the heavenly world to the earthly world. 120 people, you know, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They were dependent on Jesus. They were in that upper room praying, singing, you know, preaching. And Jesus said, wait, because I am going to send the Comforter. And 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came into the earth and now indwells everybody. What a wonderful thing not to have only salvation by grace through faith on Christ, but also to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in that small circle, spirit, soul, and body, he is living now in my spirit, and he wants to influence every aspect of my life. When I give my dependence, and when I give the control of every aspect of my life, here is my family, here is my work, here is my sports, when I give the Holy Spirit the full control of my life, the Bible says that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is when I give the whole control of my life to the Holy Spirit. And he wants to control my life. Everything. Everything. So what a wonderful thing that I received the whole Holy Spirit November the 1st, 1971. And then he wants to control me. Has he controlled me all the time? No. It's very sad to say so. But he's not controlling me all the time. But I want him to control me because there is nothing better. So, the third thing that God has done that I cannot do, he has given me a book. He said, okay, I come to save you. I die on the cross. I send the Holy Spirit. But I think that you need an instruction book. Isn't it? So from the heavenly world, he sent an instruction book to this earth. Now, this instruction book is a wonderful thing. Here is the mind of God. Anything that I need to know is here. Outside of this book, I don't need anything else. I don't need any other books. I have many books on my home, in my house, in my office. But I don't need those books. But this book, I need to keep it in my heart. Because it's like food. It's the light of my life. It's the light on my pathway. It's honey. It's a hammer. It's a blessing. Now, I know that you have IKEA in America, right? We have IKEA in Spain. And I have bought many things in IKEA. And when I buy like a piece of furniture in IKEA, I open that box, you know, and the first thing that I look for in that box is for the instruction book, you know, 50 steps. If you follow the 50 steps, then you have a piece of furniture together. If you don't follow the 50 steps, you don't have anything. Yeah. Although you are an engineer, very smart, and I am not. So I always look for that instruction book. You know, this is God's instruction book. If we want to have our chains broken, we need to accept the Lord Jesus. We need to have the Holy Spirit controlling our lives. And we need to have a good relationship with this book. Not only in our minds, but in our hearts. And we need to keep God's law in our hearts. Joshua only had 5 books. And we have 66 books. And we don't need anything else. So with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible, we have everything. Now, there is one more thing that we need, okay? And the thing that we need, the fourth thing that we need, anybody will guess? Is the church. Actually, Jesus told Peter, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Is the church important? The church is very important. Jesus is very important. The Holy Spirit is very important. The Bible is very important. But the church is very important also. Because the church is like a covering. It's like a shelter. I want to belong to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to belong to a local church that I can worship the Lord with the rest of the people, with the rest of the church body, like those 120 people in the upper room. I want to come to the church to sing. I want to come to the church to pray. I want to the church to have fellowship with you all. I want to the church to hear the word of God preached. And I want to participate in a, you know, a nursing home ministry. And I want to participate in everything that the church does. I want to be here when the church is open. I want to be there. Because this is God's idea. I will build my church. It's not the pastor's church. It's not my church in Spain. It's Jesus' church. And he's the head of the church. And the church is so important. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are chained. And Jesus can break those chains. And then the Holy Spirit will come into your heart. And he will fill you up if you allow him. And you will have a Bible that you need to read every day. And you need the church. Every day, every week. So don't miss church. Are you coming on Wednesday night for prayer meeting? I think you probably do. I see your faces. I think you probably do. Pastor, but I am not going to ask anything else. But if you are not accustomed to come to Wednesday night prayer meetings, come. Start coming. Go to the nursing home ministry. That will bless you and you will bless others, as we have heard today on Sunday school. What a blessing. Now, 4 things that God has done that I cannot do. Can I do what the Lord Jesus did 2,000 years ago? No. Can I send a... No. Can I put together a Bible? Well, I probably can translate it, the Bible, you know. I can translate the Bible, but nothing else. The Bible is God's idea. What about the church? Well, I just have to follow God's rules and God's idea about the church. Now, there are 4 things that I need to do that God will not do. Now, in these 4 things that I just preach, I will have victory over Satan, and my chains, you know, chains, will be broken. Now, in the other 4 things, Because Satan knows that if I have come, because there are only two families in this world. Only two families. Satan's family and God's family. There are only two religions in the world. The religion of Jesus Christ and the true God and the religion of Satan. In the religion of Satan, there is all kinds. It's like if you go to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and there is you at the menu, okay? Menu. And you choose, you know. So Satan has a great menu. Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, the, you know, Oriental religions, Oriental churches. So Satan is not worried about this menu. You choose. Go with the Jehovah's Witness. I am not worried about it. But there is only two religions in the world. The religion of Satan. And so many are fooled by him. And the religion, if you may, I don't really like too much that word religion, but it's okay, okay? It's to unite, to relegate again, to unite together again. Have a good relationship with God again. And the religion of the Lord Jesus. Two families, the family of Satan and the family of God. So, when you go from the family of Satan to the family of God, you are not anymore a part of Satan's family. And he cannot do anything. He's a loser. He cannot do anything. But he wants you to live a defeated Christian life.
That's right.
Surprised by victory. So he doesn't care if you are defeated, 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 defeated. Surprised by victory. But we can do, you know, anything around. You know, we can live the Christian life in a victorious way. Victory, victory, victory. Surprised by defeat. Because all of us are going to fall. All of us are going to use 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You know, if you confess your sins. Anybody has not sinned last week? You know? Anybody has not sinned last month? Ah, come on. All of us have to go. Say, Lord, forgive me. I just have a thought. I just, you know, had a better to do with my wife or better to do with a neighbor. You know, whatever. We always have to use, you know, that verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But it is possible to live a victorious Christian life surprised by a defeat. Isn't it? So how do I do that? Well, the Lord is giving us 4 points. Let's go to the first point, first of all, in the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 11. And I told you that I was going to finish at 12:30, and I will fulfill my word. Okay? So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. First thing that I need to do in order to live my Christian life victoriously, surprised by defeat. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, will God put the whole armor of God on me, or I have to put it on? I have to put it on. God will not do it for me. I have to. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, and then the Lord tells us that whole armor, 7 things. I am not going to preach about those 7 things. You probably, Pastor probably has preached before. But it's so important that every morning, as I go, I get up from bed, that I put on the whole armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole armor of God. And, you know, read those verses and practice that kind of dressing, spiritual dressing. So, because if not, I probably will get hurt. Now, second thing that I need to do in order to have victory surprised by defeat is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are below. No. Seek those things which are above, with Christ seated on the right hand of God. So we are in the earthly world, and we are so immersed and so influenced by the underworld that we need to put the whole armor of God, and we need to look above always. Because if we look below or underneath, forget it. Satan is more powerful than us. Let me tell you something. But if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have the Lord Jesus, if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have a good fellowship and we communion with the Bible and with a good church, and then we put on the whole armor of God and we look above, we are going to experience a victorious Christian life, maybe surprised by defeat. Now, the third thing is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, actually the Apostle John through the Holy Spirit is telling us, now, don't love the world. It's very easy to love this world, is it not? You know, as I said before, we have all comforts. How about if we were being born, you know, in the year 1500s? No hospitals, you know. No ibuprofen. No surgeries. You know, cataracts. No, it's amazing. We are living in a wonderful age. It's probably the best one, but the most difficult one. The worst one. The most terrible one. Because this world, in a sense, could be so sweet. You know? Money can buy anything. And if you have a little bit of money, you are okay, you know, buying things here and there. But the Bible says, okay, watch out. Don't love this world, because it's very easy to love this world. So look above. Love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, is this world full of lust of the flesh? Oh, amazing. And the lust of the eyes. Wow. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we can have our chains broken, but we can also live a victorious Christian life surprised by defeat. And two more things that I am not going to share too long, because it will be the message of this evening. My last point, Matthew 28. This evening, Lord willing, I will be preaching on Matthew 28, the greatest commission in life. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, do you remember? How many worlds? Heaven, earth, and under the earth, the infernal world. I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ forgot about the infernal world, because he has all power. He has all power in heaven, he has all power in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So if you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you love the Bible, if you love your church, if you put on, you know, the whole armor of God, if you look above and you do not love the world, now we have to go into the world. And this evening I am going to be preaching about the greatest commission in life. Because we need to go into the earthly world and preach the gospel to anybody, so more people will be free from Satan and more people will live a victorious Christian life, maybe surprised by defeat. And then we can go and the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all iniquity. What a blessing to be able to live this type of victorious Christian life. And we have everything here. Is the Holy Spirit controlling your spirit, your life? Oh, I wish that he will control mine all the time. And what a blessing, what a great message we have to share with everybody that is born. Like Noah preached, you know, before, you know, the flood, he preached. And only 8 people got saved, including himself. But what a wonderful thing to be able to lead somebody to Christ. Have you led anybody to Christ? You know, anybody in your maybe 20 years or maybe 30 years or maybe 10 years or 5 years that you have known the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Now, this evening, come back at 6 o'clock and we will be meditating on Matthew 28, the greatest commission in life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit, for the Lord Jesus, for the Bible, for the armor of God, for the opportunity to love the heavenly world and hate this earthly world, although it is beautiful, this earthly world. It's so nice. You have created a great creation. And thank you, Lord, for everything that you have created, especially the new creation in Christ. Now, I pray for this congregation, Heritage Baptist Church here in Titusville, that you will continue to be with them, that many people will come to know the Lord Jesus in this community, and that they soon will have a problem of space in this place. We commit ourselves to you now, and we leave everything in your hands. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Pastor.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, pray that you come. The altar is open to you. Now, I don't know what your need is this morning in particular, but maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you say, well, I'm not really sure what that looks like. Well, you wouldn't have to pay that much attention this morning to grab that. Three things. Hope you wrote those down. We must understand the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning and say, I understand it. You have to agree with it. Maybe you said, I've certainly agreed with it. But where I've maybe come short is I don't know that I've really depended on it. Has there ever been a time in your life that you've depended on Jesus Christ for all eternity? Maybe this morning you're here and you said, I've done that. I have done that. But I've never really followed the next step to believer's baptism. I've said I'm depending on Him, but I haven't even so much as been willing to take a step of faith. Where is your life this morning? Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee.